Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Thank you for helping me celebrate 9 years of the Small Business Advocate Show. And that's what we're doing this week. As I warned you earlier in the week, it's going to be a little bit obnoxious. I'm a little obnoxious about this anniversary. Not extremely obnoxious. Not beyond what you can handle, but just a little bit. Because I got to admit, I have to be honest, I'm kind of proud of this. And I'm proud of also, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so proud of our Brain Trust members. These are the people who join me on a regular basis on the show. Some of them very regular. Some of them, like our good friend and our guest this half hour, Tim Berry, who have been with us now, you know, in another couple of months, Tim will be celebrating his 9th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. And when I think about those folks, Tim Berry and Karen Kerrigan and Gary Moore and all the others, the 500-plus Brain Trust members that we've accumulated in this outstanding community of small business experts over the last 9 years, I think about their dedication, their commitment to you as a small business owner, how much they care about you, how much they want you to succeed. And I know it comes across when they're here, and Tim is a classic example of that. He's the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make the Business Plan Pro and a number of other products. He's the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. He is the world's expert on business planning. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. And I'm very happy to be here to congratulate you on the day before the actual anniversary.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And the actual date is the 17th. November 17th is the real date, but as I say, this is the week of the 17th, so we can't get enough of this, so we're celebrating all week. But thank you for your steadfast support of all that we do and all the things that you do for small business. How much you care about small business comes across in everything you do, and on behalf of my audience and small business owners everywhere, we thank you for that.
Well, it makes a difference.
Well, I think we make a difference because, Tim, small business owners are worthy of our efforts. I mean, they're the backbone of this economy. They're not just the backbone; they're the lifeblood of this economy, the heartbeat of the economy. And anybody who doesn't get that by now, I don't know what kind of a cave they've been living in. But let's help them out a little bit, Tim, today by talking about some of the common mistakes that small business owners make in business planning and in operating their businesses. What's one that's on top of your mind?
I have lists today. I have lists of business mistakes and planning mistakes. And unfortunately, I have way too many than we have time. So how do we handle that? Would you like a list of 10 or the top 5?
Let's just start with one. Give us the one that you think is the most dramatic.
Okay, and this is in running, operating a business. We're not talking planning specifically. We're talking about running a business. But obviously, some of these things come together, but on my list of the top 10 business mistakes, number one, the worst, the most important, poor cash flow. And to give you the flavor of it, then number two, lack of underlying demand. Number three, failing to manage and track plans. Number four, low ball pricing. One we've talked
about. The price war is over and we lost, ladies and gentlemen.
Poor marketing. Displacement, failing to plan, conflicting owner objectives, the wrong people, and bad record keeping. Actually, that is a list of 10 top business mistakes.
Let's go back to cash flow. And, you know, I spoke to a group of about 300 entrepreneurial educators about 2 weeks ago in Phoenix, Arizona. And I gave them, I actually customized a speech for them. But one of the things that I did at the end was I said, if I may be so presumptuous, can I recommend some things to make sure that you teach your young charges? And one of them was, please help them understand that the cash flow is the most important thing that they need to learn. They can learn about product, they can learn about the industry, they can learn about all these other things as they go along. They become smarter about those things, but they'll never get a chance if they don't understand cash flow, because they'll be out of business before any of that happens.
Absolutely. Cash is not profits, not the same thing. Yep. And there's that statistic that we have from the middle 90s. It's getting old now, but they did a study and 43% of the businesses that went under were profitable.
Absolutely. That's exactly
right. But they
didn't
have any money.
If you see somebody walking around that who looks like they've been hit by a truck and they don't know what happened to them, that's a small business owner who thought they were being successful and didn't realize that they were out of cash. When we come back, we're going to talk for just a second about the difference between accounting and cash. It's one word, and you know that word very well, but maybe you hadn't thought about it lately. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tim Berry is our guest. He's the president of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make Business Plan Pro. You know them very well. As you know, Palo Alto Software is one of our outstanding corporate partners. Tim, we were talking about cash, and I wanted to bring in the concept of accounting, because what I told that audience I was mentioning earlier, the last group of folks that I talked to about this, I said accounting is vertical. It's a photograph. It's a snapshot of time. When you create reports in accounting, it's how things are as of today from today back. Cash flow is not vertical. It's horizontal. It's about time, isn't it?
How things are in the future, in a way.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to planning, but. Yes, accounting and planning certainly have that relationship, where planning is from today back into time, or rather accounting is from today back into time, and mm-hmm. planning is from today forward.
Right. But cash flow, you've got to be able to spread out your income and your outgo over time to understand how cash flow works. And that's the reason why it took me a long time, Tim. I couldn't figure out why accountants didn't do a better job of teaching their employee or their clients about cash flow, and it's because accountants are better at accounting. They're not. I mean, I know they understand cash flow, but they're not all that. They're not always that good at teaching cash flow, are they?
No, it's not the income statement and the balance sheet is what the accounting produces, and then cash flow reconciles the two, but. In running a business is more important than accounting for a business later on. And in mm-hmm. running a business, you have, you know, we can put it into one simple example. You take a company that's selling $50,000 a month on a regular basis, not growing, not shrinking. They're selling $50,000 a month, and they're a normal company, which means they get paid on average 60 days later.
Mm-hmm.
If that 60 days changes to 90 days, nothing else happens. But the 60 days changes to 90 days, then that company needs another $50,000 of working capital, mm-hmm. or they're going to go under.
From somewhere. Could be investment, could be loan, it could be
it's
revenue from
capital.
A customer.
It's we're not
yeah.
talking about nothing changes.
Yep.
There's no new employees, no
mm-hmm.
raising prices, no
right.
new expenses. It's simply that there are customers. This happens in an economic downturn. People start to pay slower. They need $50,000 of working capital. It
right.
has to stay in
to keep the doors
their balance
open.
Sheet as money. They have to invest in the business or borrow money.
Mm-hmm. And Tim, one of the things that I've said for a long time, if you and I could teach every new small business owner how to understand the relationship between days payable and days receivable, I believe we could cut the failure rate in half. What do you think?
Something like that. Yeah, when you look at 43% of the businesses that went under in that study were profitable. Yeah, something like that. It's
and there's
it's not intuitive. It's really crazy. We don't think in terms of cash flow. We think in, yeah, this is how much it cost me to build it, and this is what mm-hmm. I sell it for, and then this is what I pay for rent, and I'm making a profit.
Well, and the other thing is, Tim, that, you know, so many businesses just their way they look at cash flow is you know, what's coming in today. They don't realize that it includes their credit policies. It includes the boss having to get on the phone and make, you know, collecting the money maybe or whatever. And I think too many of them farm out cash flow, and they ought to be a little more involved. Tim, let's move over and talk about another one of your topics there. Some of the
How
mistakes
about
people
pricing?
Make. Low ball pricing.
You
the
know,
price the price
the
war is over and we lost, Tim.
The reason I mention that is it's on both of these lists, top 10 business mistakes and top 10 planning mistakes,
mm-hmm.
is this low ball pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sorry, I just interrupted.
No, I was just going to interject. My standard comment about that is the price war is over and small business lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, but small business won, which is what's crazy. And our owners and operators don't realize that the mistake is the low ball pricing. It isn't that we have to price low. The mm-hmm. mistake is that we're taught in economics volume increases as price goes down.
Right.
And then we go into the business world and we think, well, we have to have the lowest widget on the market because people always buy the lowest priced thing, until you start to look around you and you think about it. And none of us really buys the lowest priced thing very often.
Well, and not only that,
the closest or the one that's best or the one that fits. And when something costs more, you assume it's better. And mm-hmm. all of this positioning, which makes businesses win, I think small businesses are, most of them, are quite clear on pricing, but it's the mistakes we're talking about.
Well, small business owners have to sell things, as many things as they can, as their organization can support, but at the highest margin possible. We cannot get around that. And that's where the low ball pricing comes back to bite us, is when we grow our, you know, the more we grow, the more demands it puts on our organization, which is expensive. And when we don't have the appropriate required gross profit, then we're just setting ourselves up for failure.
And the cash flow and capital drain slowly down.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a marketing aspect of this that's also very important,
which I want you to tell us about when we come back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, your customers are not coming to you because they need what you have. They're coming to you because they want what you have. You have something special, and if you don't charge for that specialness, then you're just doing it to yourself. Tim Till, we'll be right back with Tim Berry. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Tim Berry, who's helping us celebrate our 9th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Tim, give us your website, please.
www.bplans.com, BPLANS.com.
And folks, even though you know that Tim is one of our sponsors, that's a website that you probably don't hear in the commercials. It's a great teaching website. It's a great place to go to find out about how to produce a website. I mean a business plan. You'll see what is it, 60 something business plans that are there.
60 sample business plans are there free, where you can read the whole plan, start to finish, yeah, all the way through the appendices, so you get some idea of what a plan works. It's funny when you mention the sample business plans, because some people take that to mean, oh, there's only 60 plans, so that doesn't work for me. Whereas in truth, you're supposed to write your own business plan. Even if we had 1,000 there, you were not going to find a plan that would be a plan for your business.
Mm-hmm.
You just generate your own business plan by looking at what somebody else did for their business. That's the way that's supposed to work.
What I like about B-Plans, folks, is it's, I think you're going to like about it, is it's a true teaching site, and you're not going to find any hard sales pitches there. It's really to help you start running your business the right way. And Tim, I appreciate you making that available. You mentioned a minute ago when we were talking about some of the mistakes, you mentioned the marketing element, and
yes,
you thought that played into this.
Where I see the common failure here, I deal regularly with startups and plans, and then I teach at the University of Oregon undergraduates that are starting businesses. Where I see the failure involving pricing is the assumption that they have to have the lowest cost item in the market in order to enter a market. Mm-hmm. Whereas, in fact, my comment about its marketing, price is the first and most important message you say about the quality of what you're offering.
Mm-hmm. The substantialness of it.
Yeah. I don't want to go have lunch at a place that costs me 89 cents. Mm-hmm. I got 10 bucks for lunch. I want to have the place that gives me a nice sandwich and a cup of coffee and a salad and doesn't sell the sandwich for 89 cents and the mm-hmm. coffee for a dime. I don't want mm-hmm. that. I mean, you can take that to extreme with dentists and doctors and so on, but really most of us make choices according to, as you say, our wants, and few of us choose the cheapest thing. And when you look at business, the businesses that work based on low price are huge, very highly capitalized businesses like the discount warehouses,
right,
and Walmart,
right,
and things like that.
And
those,
Tim, we have to say that there are plenty of people who want the low price. The point I try to make to small business owners is this: you want those aren't people you're going to do business with. You're not going to be successful with those people as customers. Let them go to Walmart. Don't even let them believe that you've got anything that they want to buy. You want to focus on the people who are willing to pay for the special things that you offer.
Yes, there's a connection between price and volume, but it's not the connection people assume that if I have a low price, I have high volume. It's that you can't make money on low price unless you have high volume. And then you look at the world in business, and high volume costs a high capital level.
Mm-hmm.
It costs being a brand name in the household. It costs advertising on national TV. It costs being huge. And that's great if you can do it, but most of our small businesses are better off focusing and serving somebody else with something that they want in a different way.
I think another thing small business owners fall into sometimes, which is a problem salespeople fall into, and that is if they're selling something that's more expensive than they would buy. You know, don't presume just because you wouldn't pay that much that other people won't.
Yeah, yeah. There was a study when I was covering Business Week in Mexico about how businesses survived in a downturn. And in mm-hmm. economic troubled times, the top 15% of the market, the highest, the most expensive 15%, was the most likely to survive.
In a downturn. That's very interesting.
I know that's counterintuitive.
Well, I think it's the truth, though. Hey, Tim, thank you for being here. Thanks for all that you've done for us over the years.
And, Jim, congratulations again, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, with Palo Alto Software. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and reminding you also to never forget that this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.